The Rosie O'Donnell Show.
Love
Dialight again at Sunset
Radio.
Are you ready?
Are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
We're saying what we want. Give it to you, not a gun. Any place, any time. Not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll. We never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, Uncensored Radio.
Hello, everybody, and good morning, Australia. This is Uncensored Radio. I am one of your hosts, Jeffrey, and alongside of me tonight, I've got, you know, the great kids that are here every week, but we've also got Mr. Justin Wiseman, who we're going to get to in just a second. But tonight, the regular co-host is here. We have Fred. How you doing, Freddie? Freddie, are you there? Freddie, can you hear me? Try to understand me.
Hey, I'm sorry. I was muted. Yeah, I'm glad to be back. Last week for Halloween was hell on earth, so I'm glad to be back to normal life.
We also have the fabulous, our resident medical professional up in the house. Vera, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Jeffrey. How are you this week?
I have a little convention hangover, but I'll survive. And, of course, we've got Miss Debbie. How are you doing?
I'm just doing hunky-dory, darling. How are you?
I am great, and I'm even more so because we have Justin Wiseman, and we have him for the full hour. Justin, how are you?
Yay. I am great and excited to be here.
I'm so glad that you came on. You know, I was sitting at home. I had the day off. I'm watching The View. And I hear about you going on. I watch the show. I, like, hunt you down on Twitter, message you. You get right back
instantly.
To me, and I'm like, I want you on the show. Yeah, I'm like, the minute the show is over, I'm like, I've got to find this kid. He's got to be on the show because I want to tell a story, and I want to give him the whole hour so we can really, really, really get into it. Because those 10-minute segments just don't do it justice.
I know, right? Can't get much in there. You try to hit the highlights, and that's about all you can get.
Right? And what is so crazy to me and what I appreciated the most was we talked after the show a little bit, and you and I have this love for Rosie, which kind of started this whole adventure for you, right? Like, she helped get you through it.
She did. She is amazing. She was my friend on Twitter, and she actually started following me just out of the blue, just completely took me by surprise. And she is one of the most positive and encouraging people that I have ever met. She's amazing. I love her. And then, you know, she actually had me on the show, and I didn't even see it coming. I just got a phone call one day from the producer asking if I wanted to be on The View because Rosie wanted me on. Isn't that crazy?
That's awesome. It's so crazy. And that's, you know, the fans that listen to the show, they all know the story. But how this show came about was because of Rosie. And I used to listen to Rosie Radio and watch her show. And as you know, you said when we were on the phone, you know, watching her original show that she had, it just kind of, you know, you felt like you had a friend. And she kind of just.
Right, you did.
She was there for you.
She was. Whenever I would come home from school, that's what I would want to watch because it was like coming home to a best friend. She made everybody feel welcomed and loved and accepted and free to be who they were. That's what made me just fall completely in love with her. She's an angel.
And look at where it's gotten you. You know, like, you've lost over 400 pounds. Like, it's kind of crazy. And now,
you
were
hear
big
something
your whole
crazy?
Life?
Hmm. Yes, but you want to hear something crazy real fast before I get into it?
I dreamed
a couple years ago that I was on The View talking to Rosie. And this was, like, right after she'd left, and I was like, oh, that ain't ever going to happen. And it was so detailed. I could see the lights. I could see the audience. I could see everything. And, wouldn't you know, it came true.
Justin, I feel the same way. I dream about it all the time. It was one of my things. Like, I just wanted to interview her, whatever. It's why I started the show. My original co-host was in love with Ricky Lake. We got to have her
on
for a full hour. Last November, we had her on. It was great. We were talking about her documentary, The Business of Being Born. It was fabulous. And I'm like, okay, now we just got to get Rosie. She was on the Uncensored channel. We had Jake Pentland on, and he had her on for an hour. And he was like, oh, Jeffrey's the one that got me on here. You got to go on a show. And she's like, Someday. So someday she's going to hear this,
yeah.
And she's going to come join us. And then you have to come back and guest co-host. You know that, right?
Oh, heck yeah. I'll be there. Front and center. You better believe it.
Oh, I wouldn't have it any other way. So let's talk about this. Like, you were heavy your whole life.
Yes, I was. I was actually 100 pounds by the age of 5. I have my report card from kindergarten, and back in the 80s, they wrote your weight on the card. And right there in black ink is 100 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, it was all I ever knew.
Now, was this a medical condition that caused you to gain all that?
No, it wasn't. No, and I don't know why I started. I don't know why I chose food. I was too young to even comprehend what I was doing. The food was just always there. It was my best friend. It was my security blanket. It never let me down. It was everything I needed.
Well, sometimes we get conditioned from just infancy. You know, when a baby cries, our parents automatically give us a bottle of comfort. Your mother's going to pick you up. It becomes, you know, watching some of your footage on YouTube, and you talked about the addiction of food. And I think most people don't talk about food as an addiction, but I know for myself, you know, that it is. It becomes your source of comfort. It becomes your best friend.
Oh, it is.
It's very much
addiction.
I hear you, Deb, because when I get depressed, I tend to sit and I'll eat a whole bag of Oreos or a whole bag of chips in one sitting and want more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely an addiction.
And you talked
about people have even asked me, like, well, how are you addicted to food? Like, you don't get a high, you can't have this, there's no chemical thing that's just, and I'm like, I did get a high off of it. My high was still eating Thanksgiving stuffed. I wanted to be overly stuffed. Whenever I felt that, I was completely satisfied in bliss,
and you know,
in heaven. Just, that was my high.
And, it's true. Sorry. But you know who, even Kathy Griffin, who's friends with Rosie, O'Donnell Griffin.
Oh, yes.
You know. She talks about how when she eats, like Rosie, I think they were on The View or on her blog or one of them where they were talking about it, where she likes to eat until she's completely stuffed, but then she's got to work out like a maniac because she likes to have that feeling of overly full. And that crazy bitch, God bless her, I love her to death, like 50 and like that body is just rocking.
Oh my God, I know, right? We could all have her. We could all have her genes and her little desire to exercise it all off. We'd all look
well, I'm saying it's not fair.
I got to ask Justin, what have you replaced that addiction with? What is your high now?
You know, that was a huge concern of mine because you do try to find something to replace it. And what I found to replace it was like what I'm doing now, was sharing my story, talking to people, helping people, reaching out to them. That became what fed me and what drove me and what has pushed me to keep going. But I have talked to so many people, and it breaks my heart that the things that happen, like a lot of people that have weight loss surgery, they get addicted to something else, pills,
alcohol,
a whole slew of things that people can get addicted to, and it breaks my heart. Breaks my heart.
Well, and you know, we touch on the phone, like, and most of the listeners know. I was a big kid like you, you know, by first grade I was 100 pounds. And then, you know, through high school I was like 350. And Fred knows because I worked at the nightclub that he did. I came in and I was like maybe, I don't know, in the twos somewhere. And then I got down to like 190. But then I replaced the food with working like crazy and drinking. So I just went from one vice to another, and then I found ephedrine, which was this pill that you just didn't get hungry, and you had all kinds of energy. So not only was I drinking, I was popping the pills, which come to find out is what they made meth out of. I didn't find out till like 6 years later that I was basically, you know, and I was like taking
meth,
pills. Eroding
your teeth.
Right.
Yeah, and that
that's
to
exactly
a lot of
what happened. Yeah. It was horrific, and I had no, you know, I mean, I knew that there was an issue, But, yeah. You know, I couldn't survive without those pills. It's what kept me awake. Like my friends, you know, the owners of the bar would joke, I'd stay at their house on the weekend, and I'd sleep for 18 hours. And they'd be like, what the hell? Because those pills would hop me up. But it kept me, you know, though I never felt skinny enough. I always felt fat the whole time.
Really?
Yeah,
yeah,
I never...
I always feel
go
fat.
Ahead,
I mean, I've had
you
a couple of days in my life where I've been thinner. At one point, I was working out 5 hours a day, but it was just a pace I could not maintain and still go to work and still have a social life and still be human. But, I mean, no matter what I weighed, I always felt fat.
Yeah, and that is one of the last things that catches up. Like, I still feel big some days. It takes forever for your mind to catch up with your body. And then in some ways, it really never does. Because I'll still question myself, like, whenever I go in somewhere, like, oh, can I fit there? And I'm like, oh, yeah, what am I thinking? I can fit anywhere, duh. But that still popped up in my mind because I was so scared of it for so many years. So that fear creeps up, and then you're like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. But it takes forever for your mind to register or something.
I don't think skinny people understand that fear either, you know? Like, oh, am I going to fit in that booth? Am I going to fit in that chair? Or if I get in that chair,
yeah.
Am I going to sit up and it's going to be attached to my butt?
It's
right.
Traumatic.
It is
yeah.
Very traumatic. After high school, I completely just dropped out of the picture, like, because I couldn't go and hang out with my friends. I couldn't go and keep up with them. I would be exhausted, or I couldn't fit, or I always felt like I was a drag because, well, we can't go there because Justin can't fit in those boots, or we can't do this because Justin can't walk that long. And so I just removed myself from the picture and slowly became like a hermit. Like, I just did not want to leave my house.
Well, honey, I want you to leave your house now because, you know, we talked a little before the show and I have a little surprise for you. This is one of the surprises, okay? We're going to jump around a little bit in the show because of the way it worked out. I have a little certain somebody on the line to you that would like to say hi. And it's just maybe a little memory from your childhood. Maybe a little Miss Catherine Sutherland, who people would know from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, who she actually played Catherine.
Hi, Justin.
Hello. Power Rangers was my... Oh, my goodness. Power Rangers was my childhood.
Oh,
what are we talking about?
How are you?
You know, I am doing great, dear. And even better now that I'm talking to you.
Oh, well,
you
are quite an inspiration, young man. And I am I'm very honored to be talking to you also.
Oh, thank you so much, dear. You know what I've always wanted? I think I told Jeffrey, and I still have it saved in my computer because they had it on eBay. I've always wanted a real Power Rangers helmet that goes all the way around your head. That's what I've always wanted. That was always my dream. Isn't that crazy?
A Power Ranger
even
what?
If it's the helmet, like the helmet.
Oh, the helmet.
Went all the, yeah.
Yeah.
I always
you can
wanted
buy them.
I had to,
you can buy them. Several people make them now, so you can get them.
I had to tell them.
That.
Yeah, that you guys, the, we get them from the, everybody gets them from the fans.
Really?
Justin,
oh my God.
I'll make it happen. I'll make it happen.
Okay,
I know some people.
I was a kid.
I know a few folks.
Oh, yay.
I'll get you one.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I wanted to be a Power
someone
Ranger.
Someone out there has to make you one. Come on, people. Step
oh,
up.
I would love it. That would be awesome.
Well, I just wanted to say hi. I'm in the middle of Sansai with my children because we're my daughter just did a modeling job. So I'm, like, trying to feed them and do homework. And I was like, you've got to give me 5 minutes to call Justin.
Oh, thank you so much, dear. You have made my day.
Oh, I'm so glad. And I hope to meet you in person one day, too.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for being my friend when I was a child.
Oh, well, thank you for watching. I can't believe 20 years later we still have all these amazing fans that still support
I know,
the
right?
show. It's quite amazing. Yeah, it's a trip.
Yeah. And Catherine, before you go, tell everybody where you're going to be coming up soon so they can come see you.
Oh,
if they're interested
yeah,
in you.
Yeah. We have a Ranger Stop this weekend in Orlando, Florida. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then the weekend after that, I'm in Allentown. and I think Jeffrey's going to come down and visit me, so that'll be nice.
Mary, I know. So. We'll catch up this week, Chiggy.
All right.
I'm so excited.
You guys take
Thank
care.
You so much for calling
Aww.
In. All right.
Take
we'll talk to you
yourself.
Soon.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, I love
nice.
Her.
She
now
we're
on a mission to find the helmet.
I know, right?
She is
that
such
was,
a doll.
I had to get that in there.
That, right.
I wanted
well, I already
to be
made
a
some
Power
comments.
Ranger. I wanted to be a Power Ranger so bad when I was a kid. And, well, at that time, I was like, oh, I could never fit in that helmet anyways. My big old double chin. But that's what I always wanted. And it's so funny that I still hold on to that dream at 30. I guess we never really do grow up, do we?
What color Power Ranger?
No. No, like, I just
blue
kind of want to be Jem. You know, like, I get you. Like, I just wanted to be Jem as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to have, like, that cool hologram to talk to, you know, so I'd always have a friend.
Oh, yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. TV was real.
Your own personal Power Ranger?
I know, right?
So, yeah, Justin, so, of course, you know, like, I found out you liked it. So I've got hopefully another surprise coming in. But I just, you know, I feel like, you know, we're not the few. I don't have the budget. But I like to make some things happen. So, you know,
well,
I'm sorry to the listeners that are like, how are they going to get into the serious conversation and then have a Power Ranger call in? It's because it's how I do.
Hey.
I like to surprise people and make them smile.
Seriously? Well, you have definitely put a smile on my face. So thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, now. I'm sorry, Vera. Back to the story.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
She's like,
I don't even remember what the story was now.
I think
yeah,
we
were
talking about, yeah, not fitting into booths, which I know for me, like, it's
oh.
definitely horrific. It's not cute.
No, they bolt the damn things down so you can't move them.
Oh, it's flying.
No, right? Ugh.
Oh, my God. I
never flew until I lost weight. I never flew. I wouldn't even try it. I was scared to death. Because, and it's not only, I got to the point where I didn't want to be humiliated anymore. I mean, because I was humiliated time and time and time again. And that just scars you. And you
now, was
you
it people?
Don't want to be humiliated.
Was it people actually being mean, or was it just, like, for me, nobody even had to say anything? Like, it was, I know
yeah,
they're
no,
looking at
it
me.
It would be me. Like, I could do something, and whether anybody's seen me or not, me, a million people would just see me. So, it was just as emotionally damaging. If one person was around, I guess, if there was a million people around. Because it scars you.
Or even if nobody's around. I mean, part of being overweight and being, is it. Self-loathing is never far from the surface.
Oh,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, why can't I be thin? Why can't I be like anybody else? Why can't I, you know, why can't I conquer this? Your self-doubt
right.
is everywhere, you know?
You know, I think that it's the whole yo-yo thing. Justin, had you ever tried any, like, of the, like, Slim Fast or
oh my goodness.
What's the
I
other
tried
one?
Every
the point one?
Diet. Yeah, Weight Watchers. I was
on.
I remember. Yeah, I remember going on my first diet whenever I was a very young kid, probably maybe fifth grade, and I tried every diet in the world. But I would just get so. If I didn't see like immediate results, then I was done.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it wasn't worth it. The food was better than the suffering I was going through. Because it was like suffering for me.
And now, did you try to do the whole gym thing or, like, work out?
I never went into gyms whenever I was... To me, that was always because I was always emotionally scarred by gyms for some reason. Like, I remember, like, in, like, gym class and stuff at school, like, I would always be the last one running the lap. And junior
right.
high was just awful for me. I was tormented by the kids at school. Call it everything. They'd ask
school?
Me why. Yes, I did. They would ask me why I waddled when I walked. We would play dodgeball. Yeah, we would play dodgeball, and they would all try to kick it and hit me as hard as they could in the stomach to hear the sound it would make. And
oh,
so, yeah, so I just, to me, gym, I didn't even start going to a gym, to be honest with you, until I got below 300 pounds. I still
see,
do not
and
go to
I
the
can't.
Gym.
I can't, like, I tried for a little bit. Like, and I have all this workout equipment downstairs, and I dust it off. Like, that's what I like
How'd
to do with it.
How'd you find it? Yeah,
I found
my
it, Freddie. I cleaned it up.
It's a clothes hanger. That's what mine is. We hang clothes
on
it.
Yeah, mine's not even that. Buried in a corner trying to look at it. But the thing, like, I tried to go to the gym for a little bit, and then I got more discouraged because to get on an elliptical, and everybody's like, oh, it's better for your knees because we're gaining the weight. The knees went bad.
Uh-huh.
But it hurts. Like, to do 15 on the minutes on the elliptical was like I'd rather go learn how to do brain surgery and jump out of a plane. It was a nightmare.
Yeah,
I was the fattest person in the gym. There was no other fat people. It was all the skinny bitches. And I'm like, this is not a good experience.
I know, right? Well, I started going to the gym when I got below 300. And I had a lot of support in the gym. I mean, I'm from a small town, of course. And everyone knew who I was. Everyone knew my story. And in my town now, like, everybody just, they think the world of me. So I had all kinds of support. But it's still, to this day, it's still very taunting for me to even go into a gym. I get that dread creeping up in my stomach, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's
hard.
Not good.
They say where we go, at Planet Fitness, they say that it's not to be judged, but yet you still feel people looking at you.
You do. You really do. Whether they are or not, I can't say, but you feel like they are no matter what. I always felt like I was doing stuff wrong. I had bad form. Everyone was just looking at me and laughing, but the gym, even when I do go, I mean, I still, of course, now everybody knows who I am and knows my story. So now when I go to the gym, which isn't very often, unfortunately, that'll change soon.
Get back to it.
I need to. But people actually look to me like I know what I'm doing now. I'm like, sorry, honey, I don't know what I'm doing in the gym. I can't help you. I can help you plan out the menus. Well, I can show people how to work the machines, but that's about it.
Well, honey, I've got a very nice elliptical. I will drive down.
Getting back to things, you said you quit college because of your weight. Are there things that you've
got,
like college, that you've gone back to since you've lost weight that have, you know?
I haven't. I've thought about it. But now my thing is, I'm 30. Do I really want to go back to school at 30?
Thank you.
Yeah. I know, right?
You can go back anytime.
Yeah.
You can. That is
Justin,
true. And someone told me, one of my friends told me the other day, like, oh, there's grandparents in the classes. They go to one of our local universities. And he's like, oh, there's grandparents in my class. She ain't too old.
Justin,
so
let me tell you something. I graduated with my bachelor's degree at 55 years old.
Really? Go you.
And
rock.
I graduated in November of last year. You are never too old to go back to school.
That is true. I just need to get my butt in gear.
Now, though, the thing is, it's hard, though, because now you have... You know, you've been on The View, you're doing motivational speaking. So it's like you kind of need to put this into perspective now where, you know, you want to get this going because you have such an incredible story. And, you know, we had talked on the phone that, you know, maybe childhoods weren't the greatest and kind of did that comfort thing. But after the surgery, you know, that's a great tool to help. But then you still have all this work to do after. Did you have to go to therapy?
I did go to therapy for a little bit, and it helps tremendously because, I mean, there's a reason people eat. There's something you're trying to cover. There's reasons that are behind what you're doing. And it helps if you go to therapy and talk about it and work through your issues and work through your problems so you don't turn back to food. Because the food is really, it's not about the food. It's about the comfort that you're trying to find from what you feel inside.
Absolutely.
Well, I think the thing that's unique about food addiction is that you can't stop eating. You can't stop drinking. You can stop doing heroin, but you really can't stop eating.
No, you can't. It's always going to be there. And when I first, so what happened? Let me get back into the whole story. Okay, so when I was at 600 pounds, I got this feeling in my stomach. Like, I got this, like, I just had a gut feeling that I was going to die soon. Like, I hadn't been to the doctor in years. I didn't even know how much I weighed at the time. I didn't want to know. To me, like, I didn't even like looking in mirrors. I didn't want to know. I didn't want to see me. I didn't want to face it. I was who I was inside, and the outside didn't match who I was inside. So, but I had this feeling, and I knew. I had this just gut, in my gut, I just got this feeling that I was going to die, and I was going to die soon. I knew it. I knew it without a shadow of a doubt that something was coming. So then I finally decided to go to the doctor, because I was really sick at this point. There was something wrong. I was really sick. I felt horrible. I was worse than I'd ever felt in my life. And I found out at that point that I was over 600 pounds. I had what I thought was dry skin on my legs, but it actually wasn't dry skin. It was crystallized sugar that was seeping out of my pores because my blood sugar was so high. It had been in the 500s for an extended period of time. It affected and damaged so much, like, my vision. And I had, like, these big cracks in my feet. Like, my feet, they would, like, it felt like every time I took a step, it was like I was getting stabbed because my feet had broken open and all these, like, sores had formed up in the cracks.
Oh, my gosh.
My legs would swell tremendously. Like, you could take your finger and almost push your whole finger in it. Your whole finger would be indented. It was crazy. Like, my skin, it was, like, pure shiny, and it was, like, it looked like it was just going to explode. It was just stretched to the max. I found out I had cirrhosis of the liver, which was non-alcoholic fatty liver disease that had progressed, and then with the uncontrolled diabetes, that, like, made it go faster, and it went to cirrhosis. I didn't even know that could happen.
I honestly did not know.
Yeah, when I found out that I had cirrhosis of the liver, I about fell on the floor. My mouth probably hit the floor because I was so shocked. When you talked about, I was like, I had never drank. Every time I'd heard about cirrhosis, you would think it's an alcoholic, someone who had abused alcohol, and that's what happened. It also happened.
And you never drank? Like, never ever?
I might have drank, like, tasted beer or something in my life, but I'm not a drinker. I never was a drinker. To this day, I still don't drink. I just don't like the taste of it. But I had cirrhosis just from being big.
Wow.
And before I could have my surgery, I had to do a sleep apnea test. That was one of their things that they require. And found out that I had non-obstructive sleep apnea because it was just from the weight on my chest. And during the study, I quit breathing over 200 times for 10 seconds or longer, and my oxygen dropped below 60. And they said I was to the point where I pretty much needed oxygen when I slept at night, and I was at stroke level, and I could have died any time. So I had all this going on. So I literally, the doctor said if I didn't do something immediately, I had probably months left to live because one of these things were going to get me soon.
That's not as scary.
Yeah.
Now the cirrhosis, I know that's like not changeable. How damaged is your liver?
Yeah, cirrhosis, there is nothing that they can do about it. I still have to get my liver checked every 6 months. Once it becomes cirrhosis, the liver can rejuvenate and fix itself, but not once it gets to the point of cirrhosis. Once that happens, the damage is so done that it's hard for it to fix itself. But so far, it hasn't progressed anymore. We've taken I've stopped the contributing factor, so all my levels have been perfect, and I'm not having any issues at all with that. Thank God.
That's good.
So,
that's good.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, what was your pain level when you were at 600? I mean... There had to be pain in your knees and your joints.
Yeah, I mean, I literally, like, I can't hardly even describe it. And you know, whenever I think back on it now, because it's been long enough that I kind of remember it like you remember, like, a very vivid dream. And literally, I literally felt like I was encased in concrete because I had fluid in my lungs or, like, around my lungs from the cirrhosis and the ascites or ascites, whatever they call that, all the swelling and retaining of the fluid. And my legs were so heavy that whenever I would walk, if I went outside and I would take the 3 steps up our deck, I would literally have to pull myself up the deck to get up there because my legs were so heavy. I was in severe pain 24/7, and it took everything I had to even get up out of the chair to make it to the bathroom. It took every ounce of strength I had.
So you were not living your life at this point?
No, I was just barely existing at that point. Barely existing. And so whenever I had that feeling and then I found out everything that I had wrong with me, I decided, well, let me try to do something. Let me try to get surgery or do something that can help me. Because obviously I need some help. I'm needing intervention here. I need some help. So
right, step one.
So I went to one of our local hospitals here in Southern Illinois, started a bariatric program. Well, I went and found out that there was nothing they could do for me. Number one, their operating table only held 500 pounds. That was all their hospital was equipped to deal with. So there was nothing they could even do for me, period, at that hospital. Number two, my liver was so enlarged, he said it was all the way down to my pelvis, and there was absolutely no room to even get the tools in my stomach to even do the surgery.
Oh.
No room, period. Yeah. Number three, I was so unhealthy that I probably would not have withstood any type of surgery or being put under anesthesia, period. So it was pretty much, I'm sorry, there is nothing we can do, and there's probably not many people in the United States that would even help you right now because I was too high risk. Yeah. And so I was just completely devastated. I was crushed. My heart was broken. I can't tell you the amount of sadness, the depth of crying I did. It was almost like just weeping and just so broken hearted. And my mom, of course, she was there bawling with me. She's like, Justin, because I was saying at that point, I was like, Mom, that's it, I'm done. That was my death sentence. That's what I told her. So that they just signed my death sentence. I'm done. I tried to get help and I can't. So I'm sorry. I mean, I'm done. That's it.
Well, I can't imagine just finally deciding to do something to help myself and then being told that we
can't.
Yeah,
because
I was like,
that's the only thing that could even possibly help me at this point, because there's no possible way that any human can lose the amount of weight that I needed to lose without some kind of help. That's what I thought in my mind. So my mom said, Justin, please, just try. Just try. If you can't, okay. But why can't you try and just see? You may surprise yourself. You're stronger than you know. And so I said, okay. And I mean, just tears in my eyes. I was like, okay, Mom, okay, I'll try. I will try. And so that was my first step. I doubted it. I didn't believe myself. I was like, this is never going to happen. But when I first started trying, I just started making a few small changes. Like, instead of eating that 6th candy bar, or instead of eating, I would do something baked instead of fried, or just a few little changes. To me, it wasn't many at all. Like, it wasn't a big change at all because I was just half but trying to do it, you know, because I didn't really want to because I was like, I'm done for anyway. But you know what? I started losing weight, and it started working. And then at that point, I was like, you know what? No. I got really mad. I was like, no. I have been big my whole life. I have never lived in my life. I've never been free. Not one day have I ever been free. And not just free to do stuff, but free in my mind, because I was always prisoner in my mind, because when you're big at school and when you're big when you're little, like, you think about everything. Like, I remember thinking, oh, I got to sit by the wall whenever I sit. If we sit on the floor, I got to sit by the wall so I can use the wall to help me get up. So I was never free in my mind to have one day of complete freedom.
Right.
And that right there is what fed me. That is what became my determination. That's where my live it list came from. I started writing down the things I wanted to do with that one day of complete freedom, if I ever got it. And then before
have
I knew it, 6 months. What'd you say?
Have you done it all?
Oh, no. I still keep adding stuff to it. But at first, it was like little things. Like, the first goal was to make it to 30. I wanted to live to 30. That was my number one
goal. Here you are.
I know, right? Finally, this year, I hit the big 3-0. That was my first goal. I was 26 at the time, so that was my first goal. And then, of course, it was like I wanted to buy clothes at Walmart, because I hadn't been able to buy clothes anywhere other than a Big and Tall shop or have stuff customly ordered for me. I wanted to get in the car without, I wanted to be able to get in the car without, if I would try to drive, my belly laid on the horn. Like, I was in there so tight that the horn honked the entire time. Not just I got in and out, but the entire time I was driving. So can you imagine someone just laying on the horn the entire time? Yeah, you're going to be stared at. So I wanted to get in and out of the car without, I wanted to be able to drive and get in and out of the car without my belly laying on the horn. And slowly things started getting easier. They started getting better. And over 6 months, I lost 130 pounds. Then at that point, I was just like, I was on fire. Like, I was doing this. There was nothing stopping me. I was going to reach my goal. I was going to live. And so at that point, they cleared me for surgery. And I was off all my medications pretty much at that point. I was down to just having, I was on like the sliding scale insulin. I was checking it like several times a day. I was off the metformin. I was off all the other medications I was taking. My blood pressure at that point, believe it or not, was gone back down to normal. So much better, just from the healthy things that I was eating. And then I had the weight loss surgery.
What weight did you get down to before the surgery?
I was 470 on my surgery date.
Wow. So you managed to lose.
Yeah.
130 pounds in 6 months.
Yeah, 130 pounds in 6 months.
That is amazing.
Yeah, and then after I had the surgery, and the surgery, which I want people to know, the surgery is a tool. It will help you, but it is only a tool. It is not a fix. It can help you. All it did for me was made me feel fuller, faster, but it did nothing. It does nothing to fix your mind. It does nothing to fix your thoughts. It just lets you feel fuller, faster.
Right, because if you don't psychologically do it, it's not going to work.
Right, because if you have a weight problem, pretty much there's something psychological going on anyway. So with any addiction, that is. But anyway, so at that point, I had a surgery. I used it. To me, that was my one chance. That was my reset. This was my chance to fix the mistake I made before I was too young to even remember making it. So at that point, that's whenever I just did it. And over the next year, it took me a year and a half to go from 600 to 200.
Wow.
That fast, yeah. It was
fast.
It
took 2 years to drop the 400 pounds.
What'd you say?
It was about 2 years to drop 400 pounds?
Yeah, it took me a year and a half to drop the 400 pounds. Like, it blew my mind. And, I mean, I was just so determined and so, like, I never cheated. I never went off my diet. I never did anything because I was set. It was like, this is it. I'm doing it. Ain't nothing changing it now. Made my mind up.
I'm calling right back in. My battery's dead.
Was it like low carb? Was it a calorie limit? Was it, you know?
No, I did a low carb diet. That's what I followed the entire time. I did a low carb, high protein diet. And you know what I ate at first all the time? I ate KFC grilled chicken. That was like when they first started coming out with their grilled chicken. And that was what I ate all the time. I'd eat a piece of grilled chicken. It had like zero carbs, 40 grams of protein. So protein keeps you fuller faster, or keeps you fuller for a longer period of time. And then I'd eat like a low-carb side, like I would get a salad. And then after you have your surgery, like just a few bites and you're full. So that one meal would be like 6 meals throughout the day. But I did it, and
so
I reached
now,
the...
Do you still do low-carb?
Well, now I eat more just of a balanced diet now because I can get too skinny too fast. If I don't, I have to force myself to eat more than sometimes I even want to, because once I get below 180, I start looking like I'm sick. And it's really easy. I guess my metabolism and stuff is a lot better now, and I'm so much more active. I'm doing stuff. So, but I eat, when I eat with the mentality of, what's my best option? Like, right. I don't miss out on life or parties, or I just look and see what they have, and I look and see what my best option is, and then that's what I go with. My philosophy
so now,
right now,
do you cheat?
Well, I eat regular food, and I eat a piece of pie or cake or whatever like that now and then, but the majority of the time... The majority of my time, I try to eat as healthy as possible. Because I'm scared of going back to the addiction.
Right.
It's not like trying to lose weight now. I just want to eat to live, not live to eat.
Right.
I don't ever want it to go back to eating to live or living to eat.
Well, and I think people don't realize. Go ahead, Vera.
Have you had any skin reduction surgery? Or?
I had to.
Yeah.
Well, I had a... full body lift, and I did my arm. I had my arms done in my sides. They took 20 pounds of skin off me.
Wow.
It was 2 feet.
Wow.
Yeah. And because I was like, oh, is that a lot? And he was like, the doctor told me that like the typical, when he typically does that, he gets maybe 2 pounds off of people, and he got 20 off of me. He took 2 feet. Yeah, 2 feet circumferential. Like, it was a circumferential. 2 feet slab all the way around me. He completely removed a two-foot section of my skin all the way around me.
Wow.
Was
that horrible to go through? Like, I can't imagine that not being a painful surgery.
You know what? It was not painful at all. Shockingly. I was scared to death. It was an 8-hour procedure with a team of doctors. Yeah. I was scared to death. I was like, I'm going to die. I know it. I'm going to die. That's what I kept saying before it. And the doctor was like, listen, Justin. Yeah, he was like, listen. Last year, I think he said, I performed this exact same surgery on an 80-year-old woman who was big her entire life, lost her weight, and now wanted to get out and live. She went scuba diving every year. She did all this stuff, all this traveling. He said, she came from somewhere like, I forget, Boston or somewhere, all the way down to St. Louis, Missouri, because nobody would touch her because of her age. And the doctor that I was blessed to go to is one of the leaders in skin removal from people who were morbidly obese. So he said, let me tell you right now, this 80-year-old woman had the exact same thing I'm doing to you. And 2 weeks later, she was back to walking 4 miles a day. If she can do that good.
18 years old. Wow.
Wow, yeah.
If she can do that good, think how you're going to do. And it was nothing. Your skin's numb after, so you don't even feel the pain. It was nothing. I was shocked. Like, I was. It was my easiest surgery by far. Well, they gave me, they gave me a prescription, but I really didn't have any pain at all. Like, the most uncomfortable thing was I had drains that I had to wear for the first month. Those are the most uncomfortable.
Oof.
But other than that, it wasn't bad. It was very, very, it was my easiest surgery.
Well, you know what? You're giving me hope that, you know, I need to obviously do this. But, like, that's always been one of my biggest fears was, you know, when I lost weight the first time, I was still young, so it kind of went back to where it was supposed to be, most of it except for that little tummy issue. But now, like, what's killing me is, like, I've got that fat thing on the eyes, like Rosie had, and I think she just said it on The View, she had the surgery, you know, where you got the fat hanging over your eyeball. And I'm and when I lost weight, I could take my neck fat and, like, Frida, do you remember this? I'd, like, pull it out and be like, look, I've got Batman wings on my neck. And I'm like, okay,
yeah,
the first thing. Yes, I'm like, okay, I want my face pulled. Like, I want my eyebrows to be blinking in the back of my head.
We have a mutual friend.
I feel you there.
Lost a lot of weight.
Oh, my God, I feel you there because my neck, it pretty much jiggles in the wind. And
right?
Blows up and hits me in the face sometimes, yeah. I want to get that done eventually, but, yeah, my stomach was my first priority.
Right. Now, for people that are listening that are, you know, contemplating doing this, now, did your insurance company cover all of this stuff, or did you have to pay out of pocket?
For the cosmetic surgery?
Both.
Is that what you're talking about? Oh, well, yeah, my insurance, most insurances actually cover the weight loss surgery now. Most do.
Well, what about the
because
skin removal?
Because it's skin removal, you can get your stomach paid for. Like, just, they don't really do, like, a full tummy tuck. It's called a pendulectomy or something like that, where they, like, the insurance will pay to have the apron removed. What I wanted done, the insurance would not pay for. Thankfully, my dad took money out of his 401k to pay for it. So,
right.
Otherwise, I would still have all the skin. Yeah.
Good dad.
Yeah, he told me if I, everything I'd been through and everything I had accomplished, that was the least he could do. So,
right, absolutely.
Thankfully,
well,
it's
him. It's got to be horrific when you lose all that weight and then to have that. It's kind of like that daily reminder.
Yeah, because even at that point... Yeah, even at that point, because let me tell you right now, the way I look at it, though, in the way a lot of people that I talk to look at it, is that's their battle wound. That's their battle scar. That's how you convince yourself in your mind that it's okay. Like, it doesn't bother you as much because...
Well, God bless you, honey.
Even with all... Yeah, well, even with all the loose skin I had, it was nothing compared to the extra weight I had. And I'd take that loose skin any day over the weight. Anything, I would take it.
Do you still do support groups?
Do I what?
Do you still do support groups and talk to other people?
Yes, and actually I'm getting ready to start my own. And I'm trying to start a program. To me, one of the biggest things that you could be going through this is support. You need a support person that you can talk to about anything. I don't care what's on your mind that day, because when you're going through that and you're going through the addiction withdrawal and you don't have anything or anyone to talk to, like, it's like hell. It's just torture. And sometimes you just need that person to just ramble off about this, that, and the other, and that makes a huge difference. So I would love to start some sort of, I'm trying to start it here locally, a support network of support groups and trying to find people like diet buddies, I guess you could say. I don't really like that word, but a buddy system,
you know,
that they can have someone that they can talk to.
Well, did you ever watch Kirstie Alley? She had that reality show she had the last of her season where she was trying to lose weight, and she called it the chubby buddy, and I loved it.
Oh, yeah, I like that. I do. I like that. I hate the word diet.
Diet with a T on the end.
It's so negative.
Yeah.
When you think of diet, you instantly think of dread. Oh, I don't want to diet. That's awful. It's just so negative. I don't like negative words. That's the reason I changed.
No.
I call my bucket list, instead of the bucket list, I changed it to the live it list. Because the bucket list is just too negative. The live it list, it gives you hope. It gives you something you want to live for to do. Not something you want to do before you die. I just like looking at things on the positive side.
That's
makes
good.
A difference.
You're
I would love.
You're right. I think. No, go ahead.
I would love to. Go ahead. What'd you say?
Oh no. Go where you're going with this.
Oh, I was just saying I would love to start some kind of networking that matched people, where the people could find a chubby buddy.
I think
that's
it's a great thing, and you know. You could just, you know, get out there a little more. Maybe if you had your little, you know, a little show. I'm just saying, maybe a little radio show.
I know, right? Yeah, maybe. That would help.
I'm telling you, you know, you start off doing something really, really small, and I didn't think anybody would ever listen to the show. And the next thing you know, there's over 100,000 people like tuning in, and it was kind of crazy. And I think you have this amazing story, and I think a lot of fat people, there's a lot of shame with it. You know,
yeah.
You know, I told you too, my airport story was horrific when we went to go film the reality show that we did. That's you can check out, by the way, if you go to myuncensoredradio.com, you can click on Uncensored Reality and you can see the promos.
Ooh.
I'm just saying, sorry, shameless plug.
Shameless plug.
Yes. It was horrific because I, you know, we talked about it and I'm like, you know, what's the regulation? We found out it was 17 inches. So like we're doing the show and I've got my husband getting a tape measure to measure my ass to see if I was 17 inches or less, you know, because I was petrified that I was going to go to the airport and get called out that like, you're fat.
I know.
Ass needs two seats, which
after
doing the plane ride, I kind of wish I just had paid for the extra seat.
Jeffrey, that's your kink in
through
the
that.
Ass, though. You're worried about the seat, and you're also measuring your ass. That's kinky.
Oh, I know. You know how many times I did that? Oh, my God. I would measure. Oh, I always did that.
Yeah.
I know exactly where you're coming
from.
All right, go ahead.
You know, we have done the craziest shit on the show. Have you heard about the wraps?
I tried one of them. They do not work.
Well, I did this wrap thing,
the
wrap. It's called the crazy
wrap. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I don't think I've heard of it, Jeffrey.
One of the hosts that comes on every now and again, one of our subs, her and I did the wraps live on air one night and, like, did the measuring. I actually lost 3 inches.
Really?
Yes. And skin was totally firmer. And it was when I was doing, which the listeners know, the raw detox diet there last year. And I actually, like, lost a little, you know, it actually kind of helped jumpstart me a little bit. And I did it some on my arms, and it did tighten it up. I'm telling you, give me the seat and see if it works for you. But, yeah, it was kind of crazy.
Totally,
but, again, it's just a short-term, I feel, kind of gimmicky kind of fix where maybe it's, I don't know what it does to you. I mean, it was fun. It felt nice, but... It's not, but it did give me that boost to start, you know, okay, well, let me do something
right
now. And if I could have kept the momentum going, it would have been great.
Yeah.
But like you're saying, the support system is so important because when you have people around you who don't understand, and I think a lot of fat people have that issue where they don't have the support system and the people around them don't understand because they don't have the food addiction, so they don't get it. You know, and it's like an alcoholic. You don't get it because you don't understand, like, your body is craving that alcohol or the drug.
Right.
You people who've never been or never been addicted to something, just, they don't get it.
Just don't get it. Yeah. That is so true. And when you have someone, when you find someone that totally gets it and that you can relate to, it opens up a whole new door of support. It makes a big difference.
And now, how long have you been tweeting Rosie? Like, did you start when you were, like, before you started losing weight, or was it after?
Well, I had always followed her, of course.
Amen.
It's a show. Uh-huh, of course. And, anyway, I don't remember exactly when we started, but I had tweeted her and Carney and different people. And... which Carney had tweeted me, but Rosie started following me. And then we started talking back and forth, and I didn't even know that it was before she had her surgery, and somewhere in the process of, in the middle of my journey, in there. And so, And that, whenever I found out, because I didn't even know, I didn't know she was going back to the View or any of that, that was just, I was totally surprised. And then,
right,
like I said, with me getting that phone call, like, she wanted me to be her first guest to her Meet My Tweets. They just started that new segment, and she wanted me to
right.
be her first one. And you know how that made me feel? You know how heart-touching that is? That she wanted me to be the first one, because she actually called me during the show, her inspiration, and that just, oh, that's just, I can't even tell you what that means.
No, somebody you look up to your whole life to kind of do that. I think that should tell you, like, what an accomplishment you've made. And I think for
yeah.
her to, you know, want to put you on that platform, I think just goes to the testament of what you're trying to do is so amazing for people.
Yeah.
And I know we
and
have
you know
a lot
what?
Of listeners
she actually...
overweight.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. She actually mentioned
oh,
me
no,
on The View the other day.
I caught that.
They were talking about bucket lists and stuff, and she's like, "Ooh, no, live it list."
Yes.
Because she wants to call it, because the live it list is more positive than the bucket list. So she,
I just
talked about me there, and
I just said live it list is much better than a bucket list. I said bucket list sounds final. A live it list you can change and keep going.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, sorry I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead with your thought.
Wait,
if you remember
who are you talking to? Who?
You. Whoever was
me,
talking.
I don't
know.
Like, I'm just
I cut someone off.
I'm just so amazed about everything that's happened for you. And I want people to know where to go to find you. So tell them where people
oh, yes.
can find you. And if you have a group, if you're going, I don't even know. Like Mike and Molly, they've got the Fat People Anonymous. You know, maybe you could go and speak
right.
to them and help them.
Well, people can follow me on my Twitter, at The Live It List, Facebook, facebook.com/TheLiveItList. Find me on there. I'm in the process of starting a support group network here in Southern Illinois. It's going to be starting. We're going to have our first. We're securing our location now, doing the finalizing details, and we're going to start doing a support group once a week here in my hometown. And I don't know, I guess we'll see where it goes from there. And then, of course, anyone can book me anytime they want, or anyone can talk to me anytime they want to. I'm here 24/7 for whoever needs me. Because sometimes
and
you need that person brave. At 4 o'clock in the morning to talk to. You're about ready to chow down and go crazy and lose your mind. Because that's when it
and
can
that's
happen.
One
it
of
can
things.
Happen. You can get a crit. Yeah.
What I loved about you was just in our conversation that we had after the show, like, you are so personable and so easy to talk to that I really think you're going to do well, and I think you're going to go far.
Thank you.
And I hope that you make boatloads of cash and get to that $100 million mark where you can be like, I'm good, I can retire, because that's my goal. Like, it's same as Rosie's. Like, I need to get there and I'm done.
That would be nice. Not going to lie. That would be pretty awesome.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Now, Justin, I have to tell you, I told you everything, but I want you to know that in March, save the date, it's like somewhere around St. Patrick's Day, there's a convention down in Kentucky that I go to
Ooh.
With all my little Power Ranger friends that do the show and then call
hey.
In. And I want you to come, be our guest, bring a date,
all right.
and I got your hotel
all
and
right.
I got your passes.
Ooh, yay. Count me in.
Yes,
wow.
we'll get you hooked
Definitely
up with
be there.
VIPs. Last year,
oh,
Shannon
yeah,
was there,
working.
All kinds of folks. It's the Lexington
really?
Comic-Con in Kentucky. Yes, it's fantastic. Jared and his wife are the owners. They are awesome people. They've always done right by us. And this year's going to be great for us. We're going to go down. We're going to film a whole bunch of stuff. And I want to film a lot of
Yay.
Stuff with you and have
Ooh, I want
some
to.
Great stuff. Yeah.
Oh,
and you'll get to meet all the Power Rangers.
Yay.
Yeah, like
put that
it's
on
so
my
fun.
List.
Like, we all go hang out and dance afterwards. Like, it's a great time.
Oh, he sounds
there
like he
you
like works
right. Ooh, not to interrupt, but did I ever tell you what the first exercise I did?
No, what'd you do?
The first exercise I did when I was 600 pounds and could barely get up, I got up and danced to Ellen. Isn't that funny? When she was dancing through her audience, that was my first thing. I got up and danced for that little 40-second thing, whatever it is, and that was my start. That was my first start to get moving.
Honey,
I encourage people to do whatever.
Yes. For me, every morning I get up, I go play some peppy music, and I dance my ass off in the shower. Today it backfired, and I pulled my neck out. But you know what? You bet your ass I was still shaking it like a salt shaker, okay? Like, if somebody ever opened that shower curtain and saw what was going on, honey, I'm thinking I could scare little kids. Because you got a problem when you shake your ass and your ass is still on the other side of your body. But you already gone to the left. Yeah, yeah.
So hopefully,
in a couple of years, we'll get to meet and, we both can, like, go do the skinny walk.
All right. That would be awesome.
Maybe we can go share a salad with Rosie someday. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Hey, that would be pretty fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Rosie, can you hear us? Try to understand us.
Rosie.
Maybe you could have Justin go speak at your school.
That would be nice. I'd love to speak at school.
Just saying.
Yeah. Just saying.
Do a little guest spot on the Fosters. Maybe you could go up on the Fosters, and talk to the foster kids,
Hey.
I'm just saying, got to put it out in the universe,
whatever
in case if anybody's listening.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Justin,
you're absolutely fantastic.
Yes, we want you to come back as much as you want. Come guest co-host anytime you're available. Come and join us. And if you guys go find him at the Live It List on Twitter, find him on Facebook, go follow him. Share his page. Hey, you need to get your phone numbers off Twitter. It creeps me out. I was so worried for you.
It's on there. Hey, it's on there. I want people to be able to get a hold of me. I'm here.
Oh, you are such an amazing person, and I really do wish you nothing but the best. And thank you so much for coming on with us and sharing your story. You are just fantabulous.
Thank you.
This has been fun.
Thanks, Justin.
You're right.
Yes. Thank you.
Of you that are just tuning in tonight, if you missed any part of this interview, you can go on demand and listen to us anytime at myuncensoredradio.com. You can catch us on iTunes. You can follow us on Stitcher. You can follow us on, Twitter at myuncensoredtv. And make sure you go and check out Uncensored Talk with Karen Ashley. Justin, you might like it. You got to go check it out. It's with Karen Ashley. She was the Yellow Power Ranger, Aisha.
I know.
And she's got some great videos up there. She did the Women of Power Rangers. She's done some group with the men. She did one with Austin and some of the original folks. She did Michelle Nichols, and we've got some stuff coming out. I just went to Rhode Island, did a convention with her, and we were like running around with some puppets and that big plant thing from The Little Shop of Horrors. She got in it and almost died. That's all I'm going to say. You'll get to see it when it comes out. So make sure you go follow all that. Go follow Justin, and have a great night, everybody. We'll see you next week. Hit it, Debbie. Well, that just sounds real quiet now, don't it? If Rosie was here, she'd be losing her mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know how she do. There we go. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Good night.
Yep, good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.